Hello, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me for another great show. On today's program, you're going to hear some great classic stories. You want to know what they are? Stick around and you'll find out. And just so you know, this podcast is all about using your imaginations. And you want to know why? Because I like to use my imagination. Feel free to use yours as I read those stories to you. This is a great way to listen at home, in your car, or wherever you go. So why don't we go ahead and start the show? Now, here's a story that's almost guaranteed to make you go nuts. You'll see what I mean when I read the tale of Timmy Tiptoes, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter. Once upon a time, there was a little fat, comfortable gray squirrel called Timmy Tiptoes. He had a nest thatched with leaves in the top of a tall tree, and he had a little squirrel wife called Goody. Timmy Tiptoes sat out, enjoying the breeze. He whisked his tail and chuckled.
Little wife Goody, the nuts are ripe. We must lay up a store for winter and spring.
Goody Tiptoes was busy pushing moss under the thatch.
The nest is so snug. We should be sound asleep all winter.
Then we shall wake up all the thinner, where there is nothing to eat in springtime,
replied prudent Timothy. When Timmy and Goody Tiptoes came to the nut thicket, they found other squirrels were there already. Timmy took off his jacket and hung it on a twig. They worked away quietly by themselves. Every day they made several journeys and packed quantities of nuts. They carried them away in bags and stored them in several hollow stumps near the tree where they had built their nest. When these stumps were full, they began to empty the bags into a hole high up a tree that had belonged to a woodpecker. The nuts rattled down, down, down inside.
How shall you ever get them out again? It is like a money box,
said Goody.
I shall be much thinner before springtime, my love, said Timmy Tiptoes, peeping into the hole.
They did collect quantities, because they did not lose them. Squirrels who bury their nuts in the ground lose more than half, because they cannot remember the place. The most forgetful squirrel in the wood was called Silvertail. He began to dig, and he could not remember, and then he dug again, and found some nuts that did not belong to him. And there was a fight, and other little squirrels began to dig. The whole wood was in commotion. Unfortunately, just at this time, a flock of little birds flew by, from bush to bush, searching for green caterpillars and spiders. There were several sorts of little birds, twittering different songs. The first one sang,
Who's been digging up my nuts? Who's been digging up my nuts?
And another sang,
Little bit of bread and no cheese, little bit of bread and no cheese.
The squirrels followed and listened. The first little bird flew into the bush where Timmy and Goody Tiptoes were quietly tying up their bags, and it sang,
Who's been digging up my nuts? Who's been digging up my nuts?
Timmy Tiptoes went on with his work without replying. Indeed, the little bird did not expect an answer. It was only singing its natural song, and it meant nothing at all. But when the other squirrels heard that song, they rushed upon Timmy Tiptoes and cuffed and scratched him and upset his bag of nuts. The innocent little bird which had caused all the mischief flew away in a fright. Timmy rolled over and over, and then turned tail and fled towards his nest, followed by a crowd of squirrels shouting,
Who's been digging up my nuts?
Who's been digging up my nuts?
Who's been digging up my nuts?
They caught him and dragged him up the very same tree where there was the little round hole, and they pushed him in. The hole was much too small for Timmy Tiptoes' figure. They squeezed him dreadfully. It was a wonder they did not break his ribs.
We will leave him here till he confesses, said Silvertail Squirrel,
and he shouted into the hole,
Who's been digging up my nuts? Who's been digging up my nuts?
Timmy Tiptoes made no reply. He had tumbled down inside the tree upon half a peck of nuts belonging to himself. He lay quite stunned and still. Goody Tiptoes picked up the nut bags and went home. She made a cup of tea for Timmy, but he didn't come and didn't come. Goody Tiptoes passed a lonely and unhappy night. Next morning, she ventured back to the nut bushes to look for him, but the other unkind squirrels drove her away. She wandered all over the wood calling,
Timmy Tiptoes! Timmy Tiptoes! Oh, where is Timmy Tiptoes?
In the meantime, Timmy Tiptoes came to his senses. He found himself tucked up in a little moss bed, very much in the dark, feeling sore. It seemed to be underground. Timmy coughed and groaned because his ribs hurt him. There was a chirpy noise, and a small striped chipmunk appeared with a nightlight and hoped he felt better. It was most kind to Timmy Tiptoes. It lent him his nightcap, and the house was full of provisions. The chipmunk explained that it had rained nuts through the top of the tree.
Besides, I have a few buried.
It laughed and chuckled when it heard Timmy's story. While Timmy was confined to bed, it ticed him to eat quantities.
But how shall I ever get out through that hole unless I thin myself? My wife will be anxious.
Just another nut, or two nuts. Let me crack them for you,
said the chipmunk. Timmy Tiptoes grew fatter and fatter. Now Goody Tiptoes had set to work again by herself. She did not put any more nuts into the woodpecker's hole because she had always doubted how they could be got out again. She hid them under a tree root. They rattled down, down, down. Once, when Goody emptied an extra big bagful, there was a decided squeak, and next time Goody brought another bagful, a little striped chipmunk scrambled out in a hurry.
It is getting perfectly full up downstairs. The sitting room is full, and they are rolling down the passage, and my husband, Chippy Hacky, has run away and left me. What is the explanation of these showers of nuts? I'm sure I beg your pardon. I did not know that anybody lived here,
said Mrs. Goody Tiptoes.
But where is Chippy Hacky? My husband, Timmy Tiptoes, has run away too.
I know where Chippy Hacky is. A little bird told me,
said Mrs. Chippy Hacky. She led the way to the woodpecker's tree, and they listened at the hole. Down below there was a noise of nutcrackers, and a fat squirrel voice and a thin squirrel voice were singing together.
My little old man and I fell out. How shall we bring this matter about? Bring it about as well as you can. And get you gone, you little old man.
You could squeeze in through that little round hole,
said Goody Tiptoes.
Yes, I could,
said the chipmunk. Down below, there was a noise of cracking nuts and nibbling, and then the fat squirrel voice and the thin squirrel voice sang,
For the diddle-dum-day, day-diddle-dum-die, day-diddle-diddle-dum-day.
Then Goody peeped in at the hole and called down,
Timmy Tiptoes! Oh, fie, Timmy Tiptoes!
And Timmy replied,
Is that you, Goody Tiptoes? Why, certainly.
He came up and kissed Goody through the hole, but he was so fat that he could not get out. Chippy Hacky was not too fat, but he did not want to come. He stayed down below and chuckled. And so it went on for a fortnight, till a big wind blew off the top of the tree and opened up the hole and let in the rain. Then Timmy Tiptoes came out and went home with an umbrella. But Chippy Hacky continued to camp out for another week, although it was uncomfortable. At last a large bear came walking through the wood. Perhaps he also was looking for nuts. He seemed to be sniffing around. Chippy Hacky went home in a hurry. And when Chippy Hacky got home, he found he had caught a cold in his head.
Yes!
And he was more uncomfortable still. And now Timmy and Goody Tiptoes keep their nut store fastened up with a little padlock. And whenever that little bird sees the chipmunks, he sings,
Who's been digging up my nuts? Who's been digging up my nuts?
But nobody ever answers. Well, it's a good thing Timmy and Goody Tiptoes learned this lesson. Keep your valuables stored up as safely as possible. Well, that was fun and scary at the same time. But let's see what our next story is, shall we? More of Tristan's Storytime coming up. Golden Goose. There was a man who had three sons, the youngest of whom was called Dunderhead and was despised, mocked, and put down on every occasion. It happened that the eldest wanted to go into the forest to hew wood. Before he went, his mother gave him a beautiful sweet cake and a bottle of wine that he might not suffer from hunger or thirst. When he entered the forest, there met him a little old gray man who bade him good day and said,
"Do give me a piece of cake out of your pocket and let me have a draught of your wine. I am so hungry and thirsty."
But the prudent youth answered, "If I give you my cake and wine, I shall have none for myself. Be off with you." And he left the little old man standing and went on. But when he began to hew down a tree, it was not long before he made a false stroke and the axe cut him in the arm. So he had to go home and have it bound up, and this was the little gray man's doing. After this, the second son went into the forest, and his mother gave him, like the eldest, a cake and a bottle of wine. The little old gray man met him likewise and asked him for a piece of cake and a drink of wine, but the second son, too, said with much reason, "What I give you will be taken away from myself. Be off." And he left the little man standing and went on. His punishment, however, was not delayed. When he had made a few strokes at the tree, he struck himself in the leg. So he had to be carried home. Then Dunderhead said,
"Father, do let me go and cut wood."
The father answered,
"Your brothers have hurt themselves doing so. Leave it alone. You do not understand anything about it."
But Dunderhead begged so long that at last he said,
"Go then, you will get wiser by hurting yourself."
His mother gave him a cake made with water and baked in the cinders, and with it a bottle of sour beer. When he came to the forest, the little old gray man led him likewise, and greeting him said,
"Give me a piece of your cake and a drink out of your bottle. I am so hungry and thirsty."
Dunderhead answered,
"I have only cinder cake and sour beer. If that pleases you, we will sit down and eat."
So they sat down, and when Dunderhead pulled out his cinder cake, it was a fine sweet cake, and the sour beer had become good wine. So they ate and drank, and after that the little man said,
"Since you have a good heart and are willing to divide what you have, I will give you good luck. There stands an old tree. Cut it down, and you will find something at the roots."
Then the old man took leave of him. Dunderhead went and cut down the tree. And when it fell, there was a goose sitting in the roots with feathers of pure gold. He lifted her up and, taking her with him, went to an inn where he thought he would stay the night. Now the host had three daughters who saw the goose and were curious to know what such a wonderful bird might be, and each wanted one of its feathers. The eldest thought,
"I shall soon find an opportunity of pulling out a feather."
And when Dunderhead was gone out, she seized the goose by the wing, but her finger and hand remained sticking fast to it. The second came in soon afterward, thinking only of how she might get a feather for herself. But she had scarcely touched her sister, and she was held fast. At last the third came in with the like intent, and the other screamed out,
"Keep away, for goodness sake, keep away!"
But she did not understand why she was to keep away.
"The others are there,"
she thought.
"I may as well be there too,"
and ran to them. But as soon as she had touched her sister, she remained sticking fast to her. So they had to spend the night with the goose. The next morning, Dunderhead took the goose under his arm and set out, without troubling himself about the three girls who were hanging on to it. They were obliged to run after him, now left, now right, just as he was inclined to go. In the middle of the fields, the parson met them, and when he saw the procession, he said,
"For shame, you good-for-nothing girls! Why are you running across the fields after this young man?
Is that seemly?
At the same time, he seized the youngest by the hand in order to pull her away. But as soon as he touched her, he likewise stuck fast and was obliged to run behind. Before long, the sexton came by and saw his master, the parson, running on foot behind three girls. He was astonished at this and called out,
"Hi, your reverence! Whither away so quickly? Do not forget that we have a christening today."
And running after him, he took him by the sleeve, but was also held fast. While the five were trotting, thus one behind the other, two laborers came with their hoes from the fields. The parson called out to them and begged that they would set him and the sexton free. But they had scarcely touched the sexton, where they were held fast. And now there were seven of them running behind Dunderhead and the goose. Soon afterward, he came to a city where a king ruled who had a daughter who was so serious that no one could make her laugh. So he had put forth a decree that whosoever should make her laugh should marry her. When Dunderhead heard this, he went with his goose and all her train before the king's daughter. As soon as she saw the seven people running on and on, one behind the other, she began to laugh very loudly, as if she would never leave off. Thereupon, Dunderhead asked her to have her for his wife, and the wedding was celebrated. After the king's death, Dunderhead inherited the kingdom and lived a long time contentedly with his wife. So you see, my friends, be kind to an old man or an old woman. Well, that was exciting, but I'm in the mood for even more excitement. There's more of Tristan's story time just around the corner. You may or may not recall the story of the three billy goats Gruff, where the troll learned a lesson about greed the hard way. Well, this fable is in relation to the three billy goats Gruff, and it's called The Goose and the Golden Egg by Aesop. There was once a countryman who possessed the most wonderful goose you can imagine. For every day when he visited the nest, the goose had laid a beautiful, glittering golden egg. The countryman took the eggs to market and soon began to get rich. But it was not long before he grew impatient with the goose because she gave him only a single golden egg a day. He was not getting rich fast enough. Then one day, after he had finished counting his money, the idea came to him that he could get all the golden eggs at once by killing the goose and cutting it open. But when the deed was done, not a single golden egg did he find, and his precious goose was dead. Well, here's the moral that I keep telling you about. Those who have plenty want more, and so they lose all they have. Today's nursery rhyme is a popular song for children, and it'll help you get on your feet and skip to the beat. And when I say skip, I mean skip to my loo. So let's get on our feet and skip to the beat as we sing Skip to My Loo.
Cream jar, ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was fun, but it's time to move on. There's more of Tristan's story time in just a moment. I want to take this opportunity to pay tribute to all the things that summer has to offer. Pools, ice cream, beaches. Okay, maybe not those things so much. But you know summers are usually very, very hot, thanks to the sun. So I decided to pay tribute to the season of summer by reading this poem, Summer Sun, by Robert Louis Stevenson. Great is the sun, and wide he goes, through empty heaven without repose. And in the blue and glowing days, more thick than rain, he showers his rays. Though closer still the blinds we pull, to keep the shady parlor cool. Yet he will find a chink or two, to slip his golden fingers through. The dusty attic spider clad, he through the keyhole maketh glad. And through the broken edge of tiles, into the laddered hayloft smiles. Meantime his golden face around, he bears to all the garden ground, and sheds a warm and glittering look among the ivy's inmost nook. Above the hills, along the blue, round the bright air with footing true. To please the child, to paint the rose, the gardener of the world he goes. Well, that's the end of today's show. But you want to know something? It's not the end of story time altogether. But I hope you enjoyed today's show nonetheless. If you enjoyed it, great. If you didn't, I'll just do better next time. Anyway, feel free to comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page. And don't forget to give it a like. But more importantly, share this with your friends, because I'm sure your friends are looking for a way to use their imaginations right now. You want to know how? Just go to podbean.com and search for Tristan Storytime. All the episodes are available to download for free. Absolutely free. Or if you want to listen to Tristan Storytime on the go, just download the Podbean app. It's available in the App Store or the Google Play Store. It's free for any mobile device. Well, I must be going. Until next time, that is. I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Tale of Timmy Tiptoes, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter, published in 1911 by Frederick Warren and Company. The Golden Goose, taken from Grimm's Fairy Tales by the Brothers Grimm, edited by Francis Jenkins Olcott, illustrated by Ree Kramer, published in 1922 by the Penn Publishing Company. The Goose and the Golden Egg, taken from the Aesop for Children by Aesop, pictures by Milo Winter, published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Skip to My Lou, written by Dan Coates, originally published in 1844. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. Summer Sun, taken from A Child's Garden of Verses, by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Jesse Wilcox Smith, published in 1905 by Charles Scribner's Sons.